Chapter 9. The Attack on Kemp's House. The next day, the post came to Kemp's house at 1 o'clock. There was one letter written on an old piece of paper. "You have moved against me very quickly. You have followed me across the country. You did not want me to eat and drink or to sleep. But I have found food, and I have slept. The game is beginning now. Port Burdock is not in England anymore, and England's queen is not your queen. Now, the invisible man is king of Port Burdock. This is the first day of your new king, Invisible Man the First. We will begin with a death. Dr. Kemp will die. He can try to escape. He can lock his doors. He can run to the police. But he will die. And Kemp will die today." Kemp read the letter twice. "This isn't a hoax," he thought. "He's crazy now. And he really plans to kill me." Kemp and his servant locked all the doors and windows in the house. And then Kemp went up to his laboratory and locked the windows there. But first he went to his bedroom, found a small gun, and put it in his pocket. He wrote a short letter to Inspector Addy and gave it to his servant. "Take this to the police station," he told her. Then he sat down and had his lunch. After lunch, he went up to his laboratory. He looked out of the window at the hills. "Did you sleep there last night, Griffin?" he thought. "Where did you find food?" He heard the front doorbell and went down. He listened at the door and heard Inspector Addy's voice. "He's attacked your servant," he said.
"What?"
"He's got your letter, and he's near here." Kemp opened the door and Addy stepped in. Kemp locked the door behind him. "He took the letter from your servant's hand," said Addy. "She's frightened, but she isn't hurt." They went into the sitting room and Kemp showed Addy the letter from Griffin.
"He'll run away now," said Addy. "It's too dangerous for him here."
"I don't think he will," said Kemp. "He wants to kill me first, and he wants his books." There was a loud noise of breaking glass from the top of the house.
"That's one of the windows in my laboratory. He's throwing stones up at them," said Kemp.
He started to run up the stairs, and Addy followed him. Another window broke before they reached the laboratory. They opened the door and looked in, and the third window broke.
"The attack is beginning," said Kemp.
"Can he climb up to the windows?" asked Addy.
"No, it's impossible," said Kemp.
More windows were breaking in the bedrooms.
"He's stupid," said Kemp.
"The glass will fall into the garden. He'll cut his feet."
"I know what to do," said Addy. "I'll go to the police station and get some men with dogs. They'll stop him. Have you got a gun?"
"I've only got one," said Kemp.
"I'll bring it back," said Addy.
"You're safe here for a few minutes." Kemp gave him his gun.
"Now, let's open the door," said Addy.
Kemp unlocked the front door. Addy stepped out, and Kemp immediately closed and locked it again. Addy walked down the steps, across the grass and towards the gate. A little wind moved across the grass.
"Stop," said a voice.
Addy stopped, his hand on the gun in his pocket.
"Go back to the house," said the voice.
Addy listened to the voice.
"It's in front of me," he thought, "and to the left. Can I use the gun?"
"Where are you going?" asked the voice.
"I can go where I like," said Addy.
An arm came around his neck, and then there was a knee in his back. Addy took out the gun and fired. Something hit his mouth, and he fell to the ground. Then a hand took the gun. The voice laughed.
"I can kill you," it said.
"But I won't do that if you help me." The gun was in the air, 6 feet away.
"Stand up."
Addy stood up. "Now, go back to the house."
"Kemp won't open the door," said Addy.
"You must go back," said the voice. "If you go to Port Burdock, you'll come back with guns and dogs."
"I'll ring the bell," said Addy.
Kemp was up in his laboratory. He looked out of the window and he saw Addy talking.
"Why doesn't Addy use the gun?"
he said to himself. Addy started to walk back to the house, and Kemp saw the gun in the air behind him. Suddenly, Addy jumped back, tried to take the gun, and missed. The gun fired, and Addy fell to the ground. He did not move, and Kemp could not see the gun anymore. Someone started to knock on the front door. Kemp did not move. Everything was silent. Kemp looked down on Addy, and then he saw two policemen walking up the road with his servant.
"What's Griffin doing now?"
Kemp asked himself. There was a loud noise. Something was hitting the back door, and it was breaking. Kemp ran to the kitchen and saw an axe through the window. The window was broken, and now the axe was hitting the door. Then Griffin dropped the axe. Kemp saw a gun in the door and jumped back out of the kitchen. Griffin fired at him, but he was too late. Then he started work with the axe again.
"He'll be in the kitchen in a minute," thought Kemp.
"Then things will get very dangerous." Now someone was ringing the bell. Kemp ran to the front door and heard his servant's voice. He unlocked the door and let her and two policemen into the house.
"The invisible man," said Kemp. "He's got a gun. Inspector Addy is hurt."
"What's that noise?"
asked one of the policemen.
"It's the invisible man," said Kemp. "He'll be in the kitchen in a minute. He's got an axe. It's my gun, and you can fire it 6 times. He's fired it 4 times, I think, so he can fire it 2 more.
Kemp, the servant, and the two policemen were now in the sitting room. Kemp ran to the fire and found 3 pokers. He gave a poker to each of the policemen. Griffin was now in the kitchen. Then they heard him in the hall. The axe came through the sitting room door. One of the policemen hit it with his poker, and it fell to the ground. Then Griffin fired the gun and hit a picture on the wall.
"Stand back, you two," said the voice to the policeman. "I don't want you. I want Kemp."
The axe was high in the air.
"But we want you," said one of the policemen.
He jumped towards the voice and hit something with his poker. The invisible man hit back with the axe, and the policeman fell to the ground. But the second policeman hit at the invisible arm behind the axe with his poker. The voice shouted in pain, and the axe fell to the ground. The policeman put his foot on the axe and waved his poker again, but he did not hit anything. The other policeman stood up. He was not badly hurt.
"Where is he?"
he asked.
"I don't know,"
the other policeman replied.
"I hit him. I think I broke his arm. He's probably in the hall. But where's Dr. Kemp?"
They heard feet running back towards the kitchen. The policeman threw a poker at the noise and hit a light. He decided not to follow. Then the two policemen saw that the sitting room window was wide open. Kemp and the servant were gone. Mr. Helis was Kemp's nearest neighbour. He did not believe the stories about an invisible man, and he was asleep in the sun in his garden. It was a warm day, and the noise from next door did not wake him up immediately. When he did wake up, he saw that every window in Kemp's house was broken. "That's strange," he thought. "They weren't broken 20 minutes ago." Then Kemp's servant climbed out of the sitting room window, and Kemp followed her. The servant disappeared behind some trees, and Kemp ran down the garden towards Helis. "What are they running from?" thought Helis. "Is the invisible man following them? Are those strange stories true?" He ran up his garden into the house and locked the door. In a minute, Kemp came up to the door.
"I'm sorry," said Helis, "but you can't come in. It's too dangerous."
Kemp ran around Helis's house and into the road. He started to run down the hill towards Port Burdock. He ran fast, but he could hear feet behind him on the road. The invisible man was following him. He could not stop at the pub because the doors were locked, so he ran past. There were some men working on the road.
"The invisible man!"
he shouted and jumped between the men.
"He's coming!"
he shouted to them.
"Stand across the road! He mustn't pass!"
He felt a hand on his neck and he started to fall. Then a big, strong man hit the invisible man. Other men were attacking him too.
"He's down!" shouted a man. "Find his feet and hold them!"
"He's hurt!" said another man.
An older man pushed through the crowd.
"I'm a doctor!" he shouted. "Let me see!"
Soon he was sitting on the ground next to the invisible man, and he was feeling his body and head.
"He's badly hurt,"
he said after a moment.
"Look at that,"
shouted an old woman, pointing. Everybody in the crowd was looking at the ground, and slowly they began to see Griffin. First, they saw his hands and feet, and then his legs and arms and the rest of his body. He lay on the ground, dead, a young man of only 30. Someone brought an old sheet out of the pub, and they put it over the body and carried it inside. And there, on a dirty bed in a cheap pub, the experiment of the invisible man ended.